motivation for me, it just comes and goes. I feel like the reason why I've seen the most progress, or I've seen progress throughout the years, is just maintaining consistency.
Yo gorillas, welcome to the Athlete Insider podcast by GoroNation. My name is Phil, and today's guest is Tayo from Abnormal Beings, a YouTuber athlete with over 230,000 subscribers on YouTube, somebody who shares calisthenics advice and challenges on his YouTube and Instagram, of course. I'm really happy to welcome you to the show, Tayo. Welcome.
Welcome, Philip. I appreciate you having me on this. It's been a pleasure. So yeah, looking forward to this, and hopefully I can answer each and every one of your questions, man.
Yeah, I'm also really looking forward to the interview. It was quite spontaneous that we did this interview, like a really short-term decision, which I like. And we wrote a few days ago on Instagram, Tayo, would you be up for an interview? And I said, yeah, that's perfect. You would be the perfect guest. And now you are here. Thanks a lot for accepting the invitation and for sharing some of your workout advice about your life, etc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no worries. I appreciate you having me on this. And like I said, hopefully I can, you know, help people with any questions they have or whatever, and just share my own experience. So yeah, looking forward to it, bro.
Awesome. Let's kick off with the hard facts. How tall are you? How heavy are you?
Yes, the metrics. All right, so I'm 176 centimeters, so that's like 5'9", and I weigh currently 75 kilos. So I'm not sure how much that is in pounds, but 75 kilos. I can search now, actually.
You said 167 or 176 centimeters?
176.
176. Okay, so quite heavy for your height.
Yeah, fairly. I mean, I feel like I'm comfortable at this weight. Like, I can maintain it well. So, 75 is, my current weight. Let me see that in pounds. In LBs, is 165 pounds. So, that's my metrics.
And how old are you?
I'm 26 years old. So, yeah, I know, baby face, but no. I'm a bit older, man. I'm a bit older.
Awesome. Yeah. Do you want to start, by presenting yourself and also how you got into touch with the sport, with calisthenics?
Yeah, for sure. So I've been training for almost it's coming up to 10 years now. So 9-10 years. So I started when I was 16 years old. Literally started calisthenics mainly because of football, for soccer. Because I used to play a lot of football back in the day, and played at a semi-pro level, and I wanted to kind of push for professional. And a lot of my friends were playing professional football or in academies and stuff. So it kind of motivated me to make it as a pro. So one of the main things that I needed to do was look bigger on the pitch and get stronger. And back in the day, 9-10 years ago, I was a proper skinny kid. I was a lot less heavier than I am now. So I didn't really look strong on the pitch, and I needed to change that. And I did a bit of research, and I came across calisthenics just through YouTube videos. So I saw the likes of Bar Stars, Hannibal for King, Zeph, all these OG guys that are amazing at calisthenics. And I was you know what? I want to do this. Obviously your core is going to get stronger, so it's going to help on the pitch, but also you can learn all these crazy skills. So I was just more drawn towards that versus kind of the gym, if that makes sense. I did still lift weights as well. I've always lifted weights throughout my whole life as well, more so for legs, but again, just calisthenics took my main attention and focus. And then, just been training since then. So,
wow.
It's been a while.
That's really interesting. What position did you play in football, in soccer?
I was a left back, left wing. So, okay. I was running down the line.
Reason. And you're good in sprinting? You can run quickly?
Yeah, so I did a lot of athletics training as well in school and stuff. So it was I do enjoy kind of the athletic side of training as well. So yeah, really enjoy sprinting and jumping and all of those things as well.
Nice. And the main motivation for you to start with calisthenics was at first the physique, or the strength, not physique, the strength aspect. So to have a better upper body strength in battles. How is it called? In one-on-ones.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, literally exactly like that. So on the pitch, you just have a stronger core and just better balance and I guess, physique wise, it was kind of physique as well, because teams look at you and they judge you by your appearance as well. So you need to look the part, if that makes sense as well. Yeah. So, yeah,
definitely. But you said that the motivation was also the skills. So,
100%.
What skills were the most attractive for you?
I think the most attractive, obviously, like, you know, the human flag. I think everyone, when they first see it, they're like, oh my God, this is crazy. It's like the best thing. And then when you actually dig deep into calisthenics, you realize, oh, okay, it's a tough skill to achieve, but there are harder things out there, in my opinion, personally, like, you know, the planche or iron cross or something like that. So I think that move and muscle ups as well. I think as a kid, you just want to, like, you know, throw yourself over the bar. I think those two are, like, I was like drawn to you at the start. I was just amazed with everything, really, to be honest. So
nice. Yeah, but it's true, like the human flag, always when I have to explain the sport to a person who's not into calisthenics, it's always exactly. Do you know this, you know, like when somebody
do you know the flag exactly? You know the flag, or do you know can you muscle up? And I'm like, ah, if only they knew. It's like you do a planche and everyone's like, ah, this is whatever.
Yeah, and that's the craziest thing about calisthenics, because like I know it from a lot of shows and presentations. Often a straddle planche for like somebody who is not into calisthenics looks much mm-hmm. better than a full planche, like from the front, you know. So
exactly.
And there are moves like dragon press, I think it's called, on the floor, like that look, like from aesthetics, they look completely ugly, but they are so hard, you know, like
exactly. I think you only start to appreciate like how hard certain skills are when you actually do them or practice them. Whereas the average person, if they see it, they're gonna think, you know, a handstand is amazing as well, or something like that.
Or back lever looks more impressive than a front lever, but
exactly. So
interesting. So tell us more. How did you start to work out? How was your beginning? Were you already a pro? Like, did you achieve your muscle up in the second workout, or how did it go?
Yeah, so funnily enough, so literally I couldn't do like a single pull up. So I had like very minimal strength, but I think I could do maybe like one or two like at the start. And then I tried to do one from behind. I couldn't do this at all. So I, like, all my friends were like, not laugh at me, but you know what I mean, make jokes. And I was like, watch, like, I'm going to get so it kind of like motivated me to, like, you know, get stronger and better at it. And so at the start, I still was mixing kind of gym. So again, you got like the basic kind of bodybuilding routine, like you would do, like, you know, your four sets of 8 to 12, obviously, you know, increase the volume over time, progressively overload, use like the lat pull down machine as well a little bit, rows, stuff like that. I did do that as well at the start, I can't lie. So I've always been mixing weights and calisthenics, but I was more drawn to the calisthenics side of it. So I would usually probably at the beginning start with like training like 4 to 5 times a week. And then I'll do, my sessions would be like an hour or two long. And then there would be, again, mainly like if I was to go to the park and do like circuit style. So I'll do like a bunch of pull-ups with a band or something, or then dips or rows, or, you know, Australian pull-ups, just kind of a basic circuit routine. And then as I got kind of stronger, I'll start to do more like sets and reps style and like increase the volume. So I'll do like maybe things on like 4 sets of a certain exercise or 5 sets, and then start to like do more research on how to make the exercises harder. And that's when you start to learn about the muscle ups and the back lever and stuff. So you train, you know, the tuck back lever holds, you know, I did a lot of those, L-sit chin-ups, all of these kind of other exercises. And I think it literally just kind of that shifted towards more the calisthenic side of training. And then, yeah, just been doing that throughout the summer. And I think I learned, maybe my first skill I learned was the L-sit, I think the L-sit, or like, you know, the pullover, eventually the muscle up, stuff like that. So yeah, just kind of, and I think the book that helped me as well, I bought a book called Overcoming Gravity. Mm-hmm. So that was a really good book, like as a base introduction to calisthenics, and like kind of opened my eyes as to how to kind of structure a calisthenics workout. So I highly recommend that book to anyone that wants to start. And again, there's so much more information now online on YouTube. Like you've got my channel, you've got Thenix, you've got Bar, so you've got so many different calisthenics channels that you can pick and pull like pieces of information, valuable info from. Fitness FAQs, you know, there's so many amazing athletes, calisthenics movement, you know, there's loads of people. So yeah, that's how I started, really.
True. So we'll put the book in the description. Like it gets recommended a lot of times in this in this podcast. So yeah, definitely worth reading. It's a big thing. It's a big book.
Chunky.
But, but yeah, it's meant for this for the committed ones, I guess. So it's not something if you're like doing calisthenics a little bit every 2 or 3 weeks. But it's something for really for the committed people.
Exactly.
Yeah, but you said throughout the summer you did your basics, etc. So a common question from the community is always, for how long did you only do basics in the beginning?
Yeah, that's good. That's true. So I'll say actually, it wasn't that long. Like, I spent maybe about a solid month or two just like drilling home the basics. And then when I started to get like comfortable with pull-ups, so when I say comfortable, I could like maybe do like 8 to 10 clean reps of pull-ups in a single set, something like that. That's when I started to like switch it up, if that makes sense. So I didn't spend too long on the basics, if that makes sense. I then kind of, again, using overcoming gravity or like other pieces of information, I would like start to train for certain skills. So like the back lever, for example. So like I would do a lot of supinated grip tuck holds or skin the cats, you know, German hangs, those kind of exercises with like L-sit chin-ups or like, you know what I mean? Just switching it up with kind of harder exercises that's going to kind of involve multiple muscle groups, if that makes sense. That's a bit more intense. So I would say that like kind of 2 months down the line, that's when I started to really kind of get a bit more creative with the workouts and then kind of structure them towards certain skills. So again, I'll do like pull push splits. So like, again, probably train pull twice a week and push twice a week, if that makes sense. And maybe do like a leg day in the gym. So I was like training 5 days a week. And again, obviously, because I was younger, I could afford to do that. And like, you know, I mean, I wasn't really, you know, I wasn't thinking of like warm-ups or whatever or mobility work. I was just like straight in it, smash, you know what I mean? And then later down the line, as I get more advanced, I start to realize, oh, mobility plays a big factor in learning certain skills, i.e. the handstand or again, back lever, you need relatively good shoulder extension, you know, certain things. You just need, your body needs to be moving in a certain way to like do certain movements pain-free. And then I didn't take that into account in my younger years. So I highly recommend to people, if you're starting calisthenics as well, to like get into the mobility side of it as well from early on. So again, one, it avoids injuries, and two, it's gonna progress your training a lot quicker, if that makes sense. You're gonna see a lot more fast progress, so.
Okay, yeah, true, definitely. Also working on this the split right now, like hip mobility for the straddle planche, stuff like this.
Nice. Exactly.
You also get like, I think you get a lot of pain after, if you don't, like, it's easy to start from the beginning on to just do like 5 to 10 minutes in front of every workout, and it pays off later learning more advanced skills.
Yeah, 100%. Just a little bit. It doesn't have to be like a full-on like mobility workout. Literally just do couple 5-10 minutes before your workout or whatever, and it those kind of sessions add up in the end. So yeah.
Okay, so from the basics, from the 2 month I think you said of basics, you went into skills. So like doing more statics, more holds, more specific exercise and progressions for the skills. And you built your program yourself with the book, with like mostly overcoming gravity, but like content that you found online.
Yeah, and also a shout out to, so like I used to train in like these London parks, one being Primrose Hill. That was probably like one of the first parks I went to. So it's like a popular park in London. It's not the greatest facility wise now, because you've got the kangaroo parks that are popping up everywhere in London, which is great. Wow. But yeah, they've got, so loads of people around, you just learn from other people as well. So like there was a proper couple of older guys that I would like ask help for, or like, you know what I mean, I'll just pull pieces of information from everyone. Like I was never shy to ask for help, so I think that really helped, if that makes sense. So
yeah, I can imagine that's also maybe directly a hint that you can give to the people, and advice is to not be shy to ask for help and for advice to somebody who is more experienced in some fields.
Trust me, because like I'm forever learning myself as well. Like I'm never like, you know, I wouldn't say I've mastered everything. Like I'm just always learning, so I'm always open to, you know, experiencing new things. So if you've got something that's good and works certain thing, let me try it. Like I'm down to, you know what I mean, to try it out and see what see how it affects my body. So yeah, just don't be shy to ask for help.
Awesome. Today, you mastered some really advanced skills. I think I saw your full planche video like a few weeks, yeah, month ago. So how long did it take you to learn the planche? Maybe first straddle planche from the first workout ever. Like that's always what the people ask, from the first workout ever to the first clean straddle planche hold.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. It's always hard to kind of give a good, you know what I mean, time range. It's very hard. Like, I want to say it took me fast, but I can't lie. My training for the planche was, again, lack of experience and knowledge. Before the progress was slow, for example. So I was strong in certain areas, weak in certain areas. I started training probably, I think, properly for the planche maybe like a year or a year and a half into calisthenics training. So like I would do like tuck planche and stuff like that a couple of times, if that makes sense. But like seriously kind of training for the straddle and stuff like that, I would say maybe like a year and a half into my training. And then it took me about, I would say maybe like another year to kind of properly hold a straddle planche, if that makes sense. So in total, I would say maybe like a year or two, if that makes sense. And then again, over the years, it kind of just got cleaner and cleaner. But the problem is, again, because I was gaining weight, building muscle size, you know what I mean? I would have to, my relative strength would have to keep matching up. So the progress was quite slow, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And again, my training for it wasn't the greatest. So it took me quite a long time to kind of achieve it. I would say like a year or two for the straddle, if that makes sense. And then for the full planche, like that was again slow progress. And again, maybe because of genetics or whatnot, you know, the way my body's morphed. But I feel like I'm not too placed at a disadvantage. So a lot of people, depending on where your weight's kind of distributed in your body. So if you're someone that naturally has bigger legs, or like, you know, carries a lot more mass on your legs, you're gonna find the planche a lot harder, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So it's like, luckily I don't feel like I have the biggest legs. Like they're strong and like, you know what I mean, toned, but I don't carry that extra excessive weight that's gonna, or I'm not like, you know, 180 or plus. So I feel like the progress for me was a bit faster, if that makes sense. It was still kind of slow, because I know people that are a lot shorter as well that learned planche in like a couple of months. So it's just, there's so many factors at play. But I would say like a year or two. So, yeah.
Okay. And front lever?
Oof. Front lever, I would say it took me about a year, I would say. So again, it just, over the years, it just gets cleaner and stronger. And because you've practiced that movement so many times, your body just gets better at, you know what I mean, firing the muscles and just being able to hold it. So about a year, and again it's probably like a 2-3 second hold by then. And then again, just over the years, it gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And again, obviously, as you gain weight, gain size, you know, it's, you kind of like try and maintain that level of strength with your skills, providing you practice it. So I wouldn't say I saw some crazy progress, but literally that's how it is. Like, it's gonna take long. Like, people realize you're not gonna just get a front lever like that. You still have to put in time and work for it. So, and again, that front lever is a funny one, because some people find it harder than the planche. Some people find it so easy. It's easier than back lever. So it's like, it's such a weird skill. You know, everyone's different. Again, the way your morphology set up, the way your body's like composed, plays a big factor. But I do say one thing for front lever, I would say if you can like build thick lats, like really, really big lats, you know, build up your pulling strength, it's going to help better your chances of holding a front lever, because essentially that's what you're doing. You're placing yourself in like shoulder extension, and your lats are the main movers when you hold a front lever. For me, I feel it mostly in my lats and my triceps when I hold a front lever.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's also really interesting, because a few years ago when I started, I thought the triceps was only for pushing movements. Then when you do like a lot of rowing and front lever practice, you feel that really in the back of your triceps, you have like extreme muscle pain after the front lever.
Yeah, exactly. Because you're like literally, you're pulling. So you're still engaging your muscles. You're literally full body tension. So you need like everywhere to be strong, really. Like all these skills, you need to be strong in everywhere. But that's why the basics is so important. You want to have a strong foundation. But I do feel for the front lever, if you have like a decent kind of if you can do like weight pulls with a decent amount of weight on you, you're going to better your chances to be able to do one, if that makes sense. Because you need strong lats to hold it on you. So, yeah.
Switching to today, how does your workout schedule look like today in 2021 in May? Yeah. No, June. It's yesterday, June.
Yeah.
Feel free to present it also as detailed as you want, and because people are always interested in like the split per day, like the intensity you work on in the rep range, like all this stuff.
For sure. So like for now, I would say it's changed up a lot from when I started. Before, it was like 1-2 hour sessions, you know, beast mode, volume, smashing it, no mobility work, no warm up, nothing. Whereas now it's like a bit more kind of like structure to it. So I would usually do my skill work first, and then I'll do like kind of like more sets and reps based style of work. So when I say skill work, I would train for a static move. So like my current split is like pull, push, legs, pull, push on one day, and then legs again. So I'm training legs twice a week because I want to beef up my legs, you know. My main focus now, I want to get my legs stronger, and yeah, I've been really enjoying, you know, weighted leg training now. So I've been doing a lot more of that. But yeah, I would always do kind of my skill work on one of those days, and I would spend about 20-30 minutes. So right now I'm working towards the one arm handstand. So like I would do sets of that at the start of my workout, as like, again, it's a good warm up and just to practice, you know. Obviously I do my wrist mobility work or whatnot for like a couple of minutes, then I would get into like my sets on each side, and yeah, just play around with it really, and then just practice the holds. So like currently on like one finger and stuff, and then just kind of slowly letting go, and then just trying to do that each side for about 20 minutes again, just practice. And then once I've done that, I would do, let's say if it's a push day, then I'll go to like, I don't know, weighted dips, for example, then into like maybe some form of push-ups or like pipe push-ups on the rings, anything like that. So just volume on like any push exercises. And then again, my workout wouldn't be too long. So because I'm training more frequently, I'll say a max will be like 60 to 90 minutes each workout. So that's how I would do it. Just again, because right now I'm just trying to, again, maintain my current physique. I'm not really trying to, you know, obviously the main goal for me is just get stronger. So I'm not trying to like, it's not hypertrophy is the goal. So yeah, just trying to keep the volume the same, but obviously try and push when I can and be smart about it and not injure myself. And then again, the other skill I'm working towards is kind of the planche. So I do like, again, on pull days, I'll still do my like a pushing skill, the planche, because those are my two main focus. So I always tend to pick two skills to work on. Usually I'll do like a pulling skill, but like I'm comfortable with my front lever, my, you know, back lever. So it's like, yeah, that's not the main focus. Main focus is planche on one arm handstand. So I always practice that before my workouts for like 20 minutes. And then I would have like a 60 to 90 minute session where I do like a lot more sets of reps. So whether it be like weighted pull-ups, weighted chin-ups, weighted dips, wherever, depending if it's a push or pull day. So that's how usually I structure it. And then in terms of mobility and stuff, so every evening I do a lot of passive stretching. So that's more relaxed. I just chill, you know, lay in stretches, maybe slap on something on the TV to watch to, or listen to a podcast or something, just for like 20 minutes, you know, before I go to bed. And then I might even do in my workouts or like just after my skills, I might do a little bit of mobility work. So I still kind of do sets and reps style of it. So it's more like active stretching or like loaded stretching. So I'd use a weight, for example, let's say for my hamstrings, I'll do like maybe stiff leg deadlifts or Jefferson curl, something like that. You know what I mean? That's going to improve that. So just depending on what my goals is really, I'll factor in certain bits here and there. But that's how I kind of maintain my level of mobility as well, just by doing daily things, little small things that add up in the long run. So a bit of a long answer, but yeah.
It's cool.
Train 4-5 times a week, you know, skills first, then more, you know, sets and rep style of work in the middle. That's it really, yeah.
Nice. And I always see like there are two kinds of people. I want to say the ones there are the ones who are like having a lot of accessory exercises in their workouts and like doing really exercises also for small muscle groups. And and then there are the other people who are just doing their pull-ups, chin-ups, dips, push-ups, and that's it, like really only the basic movements. What do you think of this?
I can't lie, I like to keep it simple, just because like it's a, like, for example, I do a lot of weighted calisthenics, so for me, I feel like that's a good way to build strength, and you can again progressively overload, like smartly, like you can increase the weight in small increments over the weeks. So for me, I like to keep it simple. I'll do a lot of like weighted chin-ups, weighted pulls, stuff like that, weighted dips, and then again bodyweight exercises. So again, if I one arm kind of assisted pulls as well, great exercise, or like rows. I tend to keep tuck rows again. I tend to keep it very simple. I don't do any like crazy fancy exercises or like accessory work as such. Mainly a lot of compound heavy lifts. And again, I might do some rows or just exercises that are a bit easier that you can go for a couple more reps. So yeah, I'm more of the simple guy.
Okay. And also we received some questions about your PRs in weighted. Do you want to share some for dips, for pull-ups, maybe also muscle up?
Oof. I haven't checked my new PRs now. I assume they've gone up for a lot of things actually, but I need to retest. But the last time I tested, I think was about a year and a half ago. And it was a 75 kg dip, I think, which isn't that amazing. I think it's all right. And then I got a weighted chin up of 70 kilos, I think.
Wow.
They are so close together. Literally, I'm so my chin up's very strong, but I've been practicing that. So I think chin up is found good. For squat, it was 120, but I know that's increased now because I've been working my legs. I think it's more like 140 now because I've been really going hard on squats. Deadlift, my deadlifts are quite strong. The last I did 180 comfortably. I tried 200, I failed at 200, but I need to like retest again soon. So those are my PRs. Yeah.
Wow. That's interesting, the 70 kg chin-up and the 75 kg dip. That's unusual that they are so close together.
Honestly, like my dip, you know what it is? It's like my dips as well. I'm very scared to go heavy on them, if that makes sense. Like I feel like, because I've had a shoulder injury in the past, so I've got to be careful with certain weighted. That's why I rarely test my PR, because I don't want to snap anything. but when I did test, it was 75 dip and then 70 chin. So yeah,
and that's the good thing about like doing I don't know, lighter sessions in general. You just know that you're progressing, you know that the numbers are rising, but you don't have to test them all the time, because the PR is always like a big stress for your body. And
100%, I think like people need to realize as well that there's amazing street lifters out there that lift some crazy weight, but they themselves train smart. They're not lifting that weight like every time for the gram, if that makes sense. They have a structure to their training. So don't feel like you have to push like your maximum on every session, because in the long run, it's going to lead to CNS fatigue and just injury. So you don't want that. Just like, you know, work at a good working set, you know, 60-70% RPE or something, depending on how you want to structure your program or whatnot. And then have weeks where you push and then weeks where you regress and like, you know, take it easy. And I feel that way your strength's going to accelerate and fly. So yeah.
That's true, because if you see like a smart training program from a coach or something, you always see that the weeks are like building up, then there is somewhere the peak. Like I'm not too much into it, but like after some rest or like after loading, I don't know how you call it, but there one day there's the PR, and
exactly
you could now already plan that the PR is in 6 weeks and my PR attempt is in 6 weeks and not in 2 weeks when somebody says, hey, yeah, let's try out something. And
trust me, man, because I've had that before where people are like, oh, let's go hard, like 100%. I'm like, oh no, I shouldn't. And then if I do it, I might injure myself or something. I'm like, oh, I should have done it. But I feel like the main thing is you just enjoy it and the strength will come, and just enjoy it. So yeah.
And it always depends like of your goals. It really depends what are your goals. If you're like not, if you don't have the performance 100% performance aspect in your training, you can do your PRs. You can just train for fun. You should take care of your joints, because joints are something, and injuries that are like that can really throw you back. But yeah, as you said, it depends a little bit. Do you want to go the really performance thing, like performance way, or do you want to go the fun way? But the fun way will always not have the same results as the performance way, because it's not that well planned.
Trust me. Yeah, I think like you said, you need to have a clear idea on what your goals is, and you got to understand as well, certain goals might be, you know, I mean, not the same as or counterintuitive to your another goal that you have. So a lot of people have two different goals that are like opposing. So you have to kind of make sacrifices and prioritize or focus one versus the other. So I feel like a lot of people need to understand that as well, if that makes sense.
Do your planche and one-arm handstand, do they go against each other or?
Not too much. I don't think so. Cause like, again, I don't overtrain the skill. Like how I train skills, I usually like to get a lot of practice of that skill. So frequency for me is everything. So I'd rather do lighter, more frequent sessions than, let's say, one or two heavy sessions of that specific skill, because it's not enough practice for me. Like I need to be, to how I've seen like the best progress with all my skills is literally just through repetition, practice, practice, practice. So the more I practice, the better I feel, you know, at it. And I feel like it hasn't been too opposing with the one-arm handstand and the planche, because I still maintain like a level of pulling during the week, like through my pulling sessions, if that makes sense. So I don't feel like imbalanced in any way, or I don't feel like it's as taxing. So I'm at a level of strength now where it won't drain me to do 20 minutes of one-arm handstand training on my shoulders, if that makes sense. Like I know my shoulders are strong enough and have enough endurance to that. That's a comfortable amount of stress, and it won't fatigue my workout, or it won't, like, you know what I mean, make my workout shit, if that makes sense. So kind of my bad.
And it's something that you did on purpose to just select two main goals, because three, five, something that would be too much.
Yeah, honestly, like the worst thing I think you can do is like just do one thing here, one thing there. Trying to master everything at once it's not going to work. You need to pick. So you need to pick and choose, and you need to pick and choose the right ones at your level of strength. Because a lot of people, they may be like a total beginner, but they're like, oh, I want to learn planche. I'm like, bro, you're not ready for that. You need to first learn the L-sit or the tuck planche or something like that. You know what I mean? Do something that's kind of relative to your strength. So train for that first. Once you master it, move on to the next thing. Move on to the next thing. And again, if you maintain a certain level of strength and you still kind of practice it every now and then, you're going to maintain that skill, if that makes sense. That's how I see it anyway.
Do you ever have these moments where you lose motivation, where you have like a lack of progress and you just lose motivation?
Oh, for sure, man. All the time. Like a lot of people feel like I'm just 100% motivated 24/7. I was like, nah, that's not the case, man. Like, motivation for me, it just comes and goes. I feel like the reason why I've seen the most progress, or I've seen progress throughout the years, is just maintaining consistency. So again, trying to stay consistent, like even if I'm not like feeling if I'm feeling low, or like, you know what I mean, I don't really want to push or whatever, I'm just tired, I still get it done, but I just won't give it my all, you know. I'll just go through the motion. So don't feel like you have to push like a beast on every like session. Like you're never going to be fully motivated to train all the time. It's even sometimes I'm like, oh, you know what, today I'm not feeling it, I'm just gonna rest, you know. So for me, I feel like in the long run, you're gonna be a bit more consistent if you just kind of listen to yourself, and like you don't force yourself in a way to like just do what you can, but don't feel like, you know, you have to be beast mode 100%. And on the days that you lack motivation, maybe just do like a light session, do something that, or just do a little something at least, and that way you're still getting it done. But you're not just like doing nothing at all. So that's how I deal with motivation. That's like, I'm never at 100% motivation mode, honestly. Like, so yeah, I say just try, do what you can. And then, yeah, if you're really, really not feeling it that day, then just rest, man. That's how I'm very much laid back with my approach to my training. So yeah.
Oh, Yeah, it's. I think it's important to know that not everybody who seems motivated on social media, because you only mostly only see the bright side from somebody's exactly. workouts. Yeah, it's good to know that also somebody who is like who seems really passionate and motivated also has this moment.
Yeah, for sure. Like for me as well, I was gonna say like I've suffered so many like a couple injuries. I wouldn't say so many, but like. One serious injury in the past, so I tore like my left labrum and my shoulder. So that was like a serious injury, and it like kind of annoyed me for like a good couple of years. And I had to be kind of very smart when I was training. So that really demotivated me. Like I can't, cause like I would have loved to get into like freestyle calisthenics. You know what I mean? A lot of the tricks, like the shrimp flips, the swinging 360s. And I was starting to learn a few of them and like, I was enjoying it. But like now with this shoulder, it's like, it's still an ongoing thing where it puts in a very risky position. And yeah, it's a lot of risk freestyle calisthenics for me. So that's why I tend to stick to the more statics, the safer kind of like, you know, elements of calisthenics. And it's a sacrifice, but yeah, it's just, again, that kind of demotivated me, but there's, you just got to look at the bright side, just do what you can, you know? So let's say if you're injured right now, you can't do anything upper body wise, just focus on your legs or do some kind of stretching mobility, just do what you can really. So that's why I kind of keep motivated as well.
Cool. So except the planche and the one-arm handstand, what are your goals right now in workout?
Yeah, so again, I've been enjoying training my legs, bro. Like I love leg training now. So again, I want to get to like a solid like so a strong squat. So I would be happy with like a 140, 160 squat. I would love to do that. Again, I'm training towards it. So again, just, seeing improvements. And again, just maybe to gain a little bit of weight as well, like just to look a little bigger, but I'm pretty much happy. Like I just want to maintain currently the skills and like really nail the full planche and one-arm handstand, like have it down, like mastered. And then, we'll see from there if and any other skills, but yeah, those I would say the main goals.
Cool. And let's talk a little about your YouTube channel. Where does the name Abnormal Beings come from?
So for those of you that don't know, I started this channel with a friend called Neville, close friend of mine, known him for a long time. And then literally we both played football, you know, and again we wanted to kind of share our progress through calisthenics, and like we saw like a good amount of progress in a short period of time, in a year. And like back then, I think our first video was like in April 2014. So it was like long, long time ago. So it's like calisthenics was still kind of underground, you know. And then I was like, oh, let's just film this. Let's get like a little montage of clips. And so we threw that up on YouTube. And then like it kind of like went viral after like a couple months and stuff. And like, and then people like, and we made an Instagram. And then yeah, we gained some traction, and then we're like, oh shit, this can actually work, this is like a thing. And then we just kept sharing our progress, and like I guess we kind of stopped, so I kind of stopped then. We didn't really post continuously, that was just the first video just to show progress, and it was just kind of there on the side. And then like when football didn't really work out for me, and like I was studying at university, I was studying accounting at university, so once I kind of like graduated, everything's done, football didn't really work out for me, I was like, what can I do? And I was like, I really love fitness. I really love personal training. You know, I've always been active. I was like, and I've got this little YouTube channel that has like a small following. I was like, let me just post more often. So I started to make tutorials on calisthenics and stuff like that. And then the channel just started to grow and grow. And like I did a lot of like HIIT workouts. So again, like just basic bodyweight workouts and stuff. And that exploded. There's always like one viral video that explodes your channel. So that kind of grew it. And then, yeah, just it started to kind of morph into like, oh, damn, this is like I could actually make a career out of this. So yeah, just started to take it more seriously, PTing on the side, and then merging the two until like now what it is now. So it's like it's kind of like I never wanted to be a YouTuber or like, you know what I mean, get into the YouTube game, but it just happened. Like, so it's a very nice feeling, you know. And I just hope that I can kind of give advice to people, because it was kind of hard as well when I first started to have that advice, if that makes sense. So
yeah, definitely.
And then the name came from literally just abs, thinking like abdominals. And then I was like, oh, what's cool? And then we're like, abnormal is not normal. Like we're a bit different, you know, we want to look like, you know, beasts, freaks or whatever. So we're like abnormal beings. That's the name. So
Wow, I didn't expect the app thing. Like,
yeah, no, it's so silly. Just think of it as a kid. So we're like, oh yeah, we got, you know, just, oh my god, it's stupid. But yeah,
yeah, but nice. Congrats on that. Like,
I appreciate it, man.
Especially we had like a lot of things, a lot of comments for your original challenges, like especially the challenges that people like. That's something that we saw a lot of times in the question sticker. So yeah, interesting. So how does your week look like as a YouTuber, so and personal trainer?
Yeah, so usually I would have clients scheduled throughout the week. So right now I'm not part of a gym. I just train people outdoors or at their houses. So I've got like mobile clients. So I've got like a good kind of like clientele that I know that's like my clients, and then I'll train them throughout the week. And then I would always pick like one or two days where I just film content. So I've got a videographer, he comes, films me in the park or whenever, once or twice a week. And then we'll take stuff for like Instagram and for YouTube. So we'll just schedule one or two days to do that. I just get out of the way with, and then I try and upload like every Sunday or Monday on a YouTube video, just to maintain consistency and then have like content throughout the week. So I feel like that's a lot easier to manage and maintain. And then in between I might have, so I've got like an online program right now. So I've got like coaching clients. So I'll make a couple calls, do a couple check-ins, see how they're doing and stuff. And yeah, that's literally how my week's set up. So I have them in between my other clients. And then yeah, usually past like 7 p.m. I'm done. I'm just chilling. And then, yeah, to pass the time, I watch a lot of Netflix, just chill. Might play a little bit of Warzone, you know, that's just how it is. So it's very much chilled now. I have a lot more time as well to do certain things. And like, yeah, beginning to starting to outsource certain things as well. So it gives me more time and freedom to do other things as well. So, yeah.
Cool. Who are your clients? So if somebody's listening now, for who could it be interesting to do online coaching or even like coaching in London?
So like anyone that's really into calisthenics. A lot of my clients want to get better at calisthenics skills. So it's a lot of focus on that. And again, the online program that I've got is like very much for total beginner as well. So if you're like a noob to calisthenics or just someone that wants to get into it, then it's a great program as well, because it kind of builds you like a nice base level, where like you literally don't need to be able to do one single pull-up. You can start the program. So it's a nice kind of like guide for them to start calisthenics and get into it if you don't know anything about it. So I'll say it's that. And then also for someone that's a bit more advanced, you might want to as well check it out. A lot of home workouts in there. So I made it during lockdown. So because obviously a lot of people are struggling, not knowing what to do. So it's like a good, if you don't have a lot of equipment, if you literally just need a pull-up bar and rings, if you're more advanced, you can get a good workout done through that program. So yeah, I would say it's for that kind of, that's the clientele really.
Okay, cool. So yeah, diet. Another thing yes. that we received a lot of questions is diet, like nutrition. Mm. How do you eat? How important do you think is diet for your performance?
Yeah, very important. Like I can't lie, it's a majority of the results. Like you need to be on point with it if you wanna, especially for physique as well, and strength. Like you need to know what you're putting into your body, and you wanna have an idea. So like I've never really done huge bulking and cutting phases. Like throughout the years, if you've seen my physique, I've never really like, you know, put on a massive amount of weight and then cut. I've never really enjoyed that. I've never been one to do that. However, I have maintained a certain caloric like surplus or small surplus throughout, and then drop it to a small deficit or something like that. So I would like have phases where I would kind of like have a small bulk, if that makes sense. Because if I especially for calisthenics, if you're trying to learn all these skills, any weights that you put on, excessive weight, is going to make it a lot harder. Like you want to be as light as possible. So having like a low body fat percentage is just so much advantageous to it, if that makes sense, like to learning any kind of skill. So I've always kind of tried to maintain a certain level of leanness, and then that has helped me with my skills, if that makes sense. So I'll say usually right now I'm eating around 3,000 calories a day. So that's like almost like a maintenance level slash a slight kind of caloric surplus for me. So that's 3,000 calories roughly. And then certain days let's say come now it's summertime as well, and let's say you want to shred down a bit, I'll drop it to maybe like 2,500 to 2,200, something like that, where it's slightly less. And then if I try to maintain it, I don't really track everything through MyFitnessPal, but I have a rough idea, if that makes sense. As a PET, I kind of like know, you know, certain foods and like calories and certain foods and amounts. So if I were you, if you'd have no idea at all, I would say just get like MyFitnessPal or any kind of calorie tracking app and actually just track what you're eating for a week. Cause you'll be surprised, like certain foods, you know, have like look at oil, for example, one tablespoon is like 120 calories or something. A lot of people don't know this. So it's like, if you're cooking a lot of oily foods, fried foods, calories are going to, you know, skyrocket. So it's like those things you need to educate yourself on. Once you have that understanding, then you can kind of have an idea on what you're eating right now. And then you'll kind of like, for me, I always tell people just test it out. So test out a certain, if you don't know your calorie amount, it's like what to, in order to gain weight or lose weight, just test out. If you're eating, let's say 3,000 calories every week and you're maintaining the same weight, then you no need to bump up your calories. Keep doing that. Track your weight throughout. If you've noticed you've gained weight, then you know that's the number you need to eat at to gain weight, if that makes sense. So it's a bit of trial and error, but that's always worked for me, if that makes sense. And I've always like stayed in a slight surplus. And then if I ever felt like I was gaining too much weight or I wanted to shred down, I'd drop it to a deficit. And again, certain days, like I said, I enjoy food. So I might order a pizza or wings, you know what I mean? It don't matter. Like I'll eat unhealthy as well. You have to like be consistent with it, and it has to be sustainable. So it can't be something, a diet can't be something where you're not looking forward to, because you're not going to maintain it. So I always tell people, don't worry, man, like eat that slice of cake or something, just enjoy it. But at the same time, just know what you're taking in and like what you need to hit in order to achieve your goals. So that's it.
Oh, cool. A typical meal for you?
Yeah. So usually every breakfast, again, like I love pancakes, so I'll probably make some pancakes, so like oatmeal pancakes, like spelt flour, you know, make the pancakes, whatnot, maple syrup, blueberries, banana, whatever. That's, I love that. Or I'd have like a bowl of oats, so porridge, maybe like 80 to 100 grams, honey, you know, with, I love coconut milk or like oat milk as well, almond milk as well. So I just have that as for breakfast, maybe as an example. Then for lunch, maybe like a tuna sandwich. So like can of tuna, mayonnaise, you know, sweet corn, just like add different ingredients and just salad, just have it in like either a bagel or, a slice of toast, have some nuts on the side if I want to bump up my calories, maybe some cashew nuts I love. So that would be another meal. Then I might have like in the afternoon, I might have like a shake. So I've got like a plant-based protein shake. I'll have that. It's like extra bit of protein in my diet. And then, let's say, for example, for lunch, I'll have maybe a bowl of pasta, some pasta. So again, pasta with a little bit of just like red sauce or whatever. Dinner, I would have maybe like salmon. So like salmon fillets with sweet potato, greens, keep it nice and simple. And then dinner, I might have some chicken breast, rice, again, it's a bit of salad. And then I'll supplement again with like another shake, like a plant-based shake. And then for dessert, I might have like, this is where I treat myself. I usually get like a little bit of some ice cream, Oreos. I love the ice cream Oreo combo. Oh, I love it. So ice creams, Oreos, you know, might have like a yogurt as well or something like that. So that's usually how I eat in a day, if that makes sense. But it's kind of like a lot of meals, four or five meals in a day. And then, yeah, if I want to bump it up, I might include another meal, extra meal or something like that. You know what I mean? I'll just play around with that. But that's usually how I eat. So there's loads of videos on YouTube. If you check it out, I've got loads of 4 day of eating videos, so you can see how I eat. But yeah.
Cool. And you always said plant-based shake. What's the reason? Like at first I thought, oh, he's like vegetarian or...
Oh, no, I'm not.
And then the tuna and the salmon and chicken breast.
Chicken breast. I was like, listen, I love my meat as well. I can't lie. I do. You know what it is? It's like, So I'm trying to reduce my meat consumption. Again, one, because obviously environmental reasons. And like just, I just know my body best. And I feel like having a little bit of meat in my diet, I just feel like I function the best at, if that makes sense. Like I've tried going vegan and maybe I need more time to adjust to it, but I just didn't feel like I was performing at my best. So that's why I included a little bit. Like most of my meals are plant-based in terms of like the carbs and the rice, the pasta, you know what I mean? I would say I just do have maybe like, again, the salmon or the chicken breast in there as well. So, and for me, the shakes, the reason why I do plant-based, again, just because I want to try and reduce my dairy consumption as well. Like I feel like whey as well. I'm a little bit lactose intolerant. So I feel like, again, what doesn't react with my body, it goes out, I replace it. So having the plant-based shakes, I felt a lot more comfortable and better, if that makes sense. My body felt a lot better.
So it's also a lot of testing for you, just testing and feeling what your body wants and whatnot.
Exactly. Like for me, I can't say to someone, oh, try the plant-based one. You know, some person might find a whey one, they perform better or function. So like everyone's different, just experiment. That's my best opinion to people. Experiment, what works for you, do it. Like, yeah.
Cool. Really nice. We are coming to an end of the interview. We always have some quick questions, quick answers at the end of every interview. Sure. Favorite food?
Favorite food? Ooh. I'm going to say rice, peas, jerk chicken. So it's like, or jollof rice and chicken. It's like a Nigerian dish, jollof rice and chicken. Done. So yeah, okay. I'm half Nigerian, so it's got to stick to the roots.
Nice. That's it. Are you a dog or a cat person?
Dog person, all day, dog.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dog cool. person. What's your favorite color?
Green's my favorite color. Yeah.
Nice. What are the athletes that inspire you?
So many, man. So many. There's just too many, bro. There's so many in the UK and around the world. Like, it's to list all of them, it's hard. Like, you got the likes of, obviously, Eric Ortiz. You got, Small Spartan, you know, in the UK, you got Daniel Lysen, you got so many beasts out there. You got there's so many. Victor Cameron, oh my god, there's just so many crazy people. I would love to say so many different names, but it's just, you know what I mean, it's hard. So anyone that does calisthenics for me is like an idol, because like I know what they're going through, I know their journey, and I respect them. So do you get me? Like anyone that's a calisthenics athlete, really. That's, yeah.
That's a good answer.
Try to keep it simple.
What's your favorite skill?
Favorite skill, planche, just because of how long it took. So planche, yeah.
Pull or push?
I'm push. I'm team push. Team push. I love push.
Really? Even though like your pull is so strong.
Yeah, I love, mate, I'm pull. I don't know why. I'm just like bored. I won't push.
Fighting your genetics.
Yeah, man. I don't know.
Yeah, but cool. Favorite book?
Oh, that's a good one. Don't Hurt Me, I think. David Goggins' book. That's a really good one. Or Can't Hurt Me. I can't remember what it's called. Can't Hurt Me. That's the one, yeah.
Yeah.
Great book.
Nice. Favorite music genre, general. You could tell me how to pronounce it. I just know the French word genre.
Yeah, genre. Okay. I say genre.
Okay.
So
okay, cool.
I would say like rap, R&B, rap. Yeah.
Okay. The best calisthenics event you've visited?
Oh, the best one. I haven't been to too many. You know, I've been to. I would love to do more. Obviously, with COVID in it, it's hard. Best event I've been to. I haven't really been to anyone. Like, I've been to one in, there was one in Sweden I went to. It was like a fitness festival. That was quite sick. And there was like a calisthenics competition going on. So I'd say that one there. That was sick.
When was it?
I think a year or two ago.
In December?
Yeah, I think it was that one.
We were there as well. Simon, the underdog from Sweden, won the freestyle competition against Tom and Dan Rosenberg.
I think so, yeah. I think so, yeah.
That's insane that we didn't meet each
other. Yeah, I know. I was there for a bit, yeah. So it was sick. I loved it. I thought it was dope. Yeah.
So shout out to Daniel Fairfield, who organized this.
Yeah, man.
it was his work and his like first big competition, I think, that he organized. So
yeah, I saw him there and I spoke to him for a bit. So he's really cool, man. Yeah. We've been chatting on Instagram as well. So yeah, he's cool guy, man. Shout out Daniel.
Awesome. Yeah, and the last question always, what's your message to the calisthenics community? What's something that you want to tell the listeners?
Just enjoy it, man. Trust the process and enjoy your training, because like, we're all going to get there. Enjoy the journey, you know, whatever your goals is, you're going to achieve it. So just trust the process and enjoy it, man. That's my best advice. And like, yeah, let's just all learn and grow together, and hopefully we achieve all the goals we want. So yeah, that's my message.
Awesome. Thanks for the interview. We're coming to an end. And before you can say goodbye to the listeners and you have the last word, I want to say thank you to everyone listening to this. I forgot one question. How can people get in touch with you? How can they contact you best?
Best thing you can do is Instagram DM me. So @abnormal_beings, because like I'm still quite active on Instagram. I reply to a lot of DMs. So if you just message me there, or you can email me abnormal.beings@gmail.com, and yeah, you can contact me there.
Cool. We will put all the links in the description to your Instagram, YouTube, and email address. Yeah, as I said, we're coming to an end. Thanks to everyone listening to this till the end. It's always a big pleasure if somebody takes the time to listen to such an interview to the end. So big thank you if you stuck with us until now. If you want to support the series, give it a thumbs up. It always helps for the algorithm. I think you know, tell you. And yeah, you have the last words and can say goodbye. Big thanks again from my side for your time.
No, Philip, I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on this. It's been a pleasure, and hopefully I answered each and every one of your questions. But yeah, no, really amazing interview, and so glad to be a part of it. So thank you guys, and yeah, take it easy, bro.